We are saved by faith through the person of Jesus Christ and his work, not our work, but his work. That is true today. It was true yesterday, and it'll be true tomorrow. Last week, we talked about justification, and justification is the idea or the principle in Scripture of how do we obtain righteousness. What does it look like for a perfect God in a perfect place called heaven to accept us? He accepts us through the work of Jesus, what he did. He lived absolutely perfect without fault, and he died on a cross, the most unjust thing that has ever happened in human history, and we reap the benefits of it, the unjust act of him dying on the cross for our sins, and we receive that by faith in Jesus Christ. The passage that we're going to be looking at, the last few chapters have been building that argument, that it's been walking through, looking at what is this idea of justification. It's Jesus plus nothing, is what Paul says. And the problem in Galatians is these Judaizers, there's these people that are coming. They're coming and they're saying, hey, it's Jesus plus circumcision, or Jesus plus this, Jesus plus Jewish heritage. And Paul is arguing against that. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians chapter 3. We'll be there all day. I want you to think back. None of you were alive at this point, but it's now 1859. We're at Niagara Falls. We're hanging out there. And there's a guy who is strung a 3-inch tightrope across. And we've seen him do some pretty crazy things. He's walked across it backwards. He walked across it blindfolded. He walked across it with somebody in a wheelbarrow. He went out in the middle of it, stood on a chair, just one leg on the chair, and stood on it. He actually got to the middle, and he cooked breakfast for himself and had an omelet. Now he's on the side and his manager is there. And he says to the manager, hop on, I'll take you across. And so the manager does. He hops on and he begins to walk across Niagara Falls on the back of this man. And you see this picture of this guy walking across. It would be crazy for the manager about halfway across to go, man, that was a good journey. I'm done, though. I'm scared. I don't think you're going to be able to do this. The manager has put his total faith in this man to be able to walk across with him on his back. To jump off at this moment would be crazy, right? This is what Paul is arguing. This is what Paul is arguing in Galatians. He's arguing a tightrope action that is happening. The Galatians, by faith, have received Jesus. They've placed their faith in Jesus. Now they're beginning to walk with Jesus, and they say, you know what? We're going to walk the tightrope, not on your back, but we want to get down. We're about halfway. We're in the middle. Absolutely insane. And so what Paul does is he starts calling him names. That usually helps, right? He starts calling them names. He says, oh, you foolish Galatians, what are you doing? What's happening here? Why are you doing this? And when we think about this, and I think this is one of the things that we go, oh, they're crazy. They're foolish. The Galatians, they don't understand this. But oftentimes I think we run into the same issue. We go, yeah, we believe in Jesus, we believe in him to get us to heaven, we believe in what he did to forgive our sins, we believe in that, and we accept that, and we receive that by faith. But then when it comes to walking with God, walking in this new creative life that God has given us, we go, we got this. We'll just try hard enough and we'll do this. And this is the whole argument that we're going to be looking at today that Paul is telling the Galatians. This is the problem that they were running into also. The entire Christian life is based on faith, not performance. Paul, in this passage, he says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, who has put you under a curse? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And so he's transitioning here. He's transitioning here from justification, which we just talked about, to sanctification. How do we grow in our relationship with Christ? How do we take that next step with Christ? How do we follow Him? Do we do it by the works of the law, or do we do it by the works of the Spirit? And so what he's identifying here is one of the greatest things I think we face in the church is that how do we walk with Jesus? We walk by the Spirit is what Paul is arguing, what he is trying to communicate to them. He's saying that when you said yes to Jesus the very first time, you heard a message and you responded in faith. You heard the message, you responded in faith, and a bunch of things happened in that moment. Number one, you were justified. The justification that you would spend eternity with God in heaven, or with God, you would spend in eternity. But then there's also this thing that was happening at the same time, and there was a gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to you, and that gift seals you, and it holds you, and it connects you to Jesus and to God. And so he's asking, did you actually receive this gift? The gospel is good news, and Jesus Christ has made a way for us to be accepted by God through his death, burial, and resurrection. If we go back to the tightrope analogy, you became a Christian not by thinking you could cross the chasm by yourself. We recognize the chasm was too big. It is too scary. And even if there was a tightrope, we couldn't actually do it. That's the law. He's talking to these Galatians who are being in, these Judaizers are coming in and saying, you have to follow the law. And that is the tightrope. And the tightrope says that if you don't follow these rules, if you don't follow everything here, then you are going to be condemned. And in one sense, it's true. Because that's what the Bible says. If you don't follow the law absolutely perfect, there's only one who absolutely did that, and his name is Jesus. If you don't follow this, you fall off the tightrope. So how do we grow? What does that actually look like? Paul is saying, hey, you received the gospel not by works, but by faith. You heard it, and you were saved. He goes on and he says, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? The answer, of course, is no, right? We continue in the Christian life the same way we started it, by grace, not by performance. Anything else would be ridiculous. It would be foolish to start one way and then finish another. God has promised in the Old Testament, that he would give us a new heart, a heart that would respond to him, a heart that would want the things that God wants. It says in the scripture that we were rebels, that we were going against God prior to Jesus coming in, the Spirit being given to us, and he gave us a new heart that wants to respond to God, that wants to not act in the flesh, but act by the Spirit. And he says, I will put my Spirit within you, because then you can walk in my statutes. You can be careful to walk in my ways or obey my rules. These rules were not set up so that he could test you. These rules were, this is how to be human. This is the very best way to be human. This is what you were created to do. This is what you were created to be. God has kept his promise. He gave us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to change us from the inside. It'd be foolish to think that we could improve on this with a new strategy. It'd be utterly foolish to think that we could reject the Holy Spirit and rely on our own steam or our own get-her-done type of an attitude to make this happen, this Christian growth. We're saved by the Spirit and faith, and then we're progressing in our Christian life through works of human effort. That is what we're thinking. And that's just not true. Paul says we're saved by the Spirit and faith, and then we progress exactly the same way. We take that step of faith each day. We progress in our walk with Christ as we hear and we respond to it. The essence of the Galatian heresy is the teaching that you begin the Christian life by faith. And then you grow in the Christian life by works. And it's you powering it. The other parts, I think, that he's looking at here, and he's furious at them for this, because he has taught them the gospel. They know who Jesus is. They came by hearing and responding in faith to God, and he calls them foolish. He calls them idiots. He calls them simpletons. And then he says this behavior, if you look at the passage, he says this behavior, who has bewitched you? What he's connecting this to is this is an act of Satan. This is an act of the occult. This is an act of demonic understanding that you could do this on your own, that you could just power yourself up on your own. This is the counterfeit to what God has for you. So Satan, he doesn't create anything. He just counterfeits everything. And this is a counterfeit. It's not the real thing. It's the fake thing. And he says, hey, who's cursed you? Who's bewitched you? How are you in this trance? And how do you not get this? You are so foolish. He's furious with them. The essential mark of a Christian is not how far you've progressed in your sanctification, but on what you're relying on to get there. Are you striving for sanctification by works, or are you striving for sanctification, this constant walk with God by faith? Paul is not saying that we sit there passively and go, God, change me. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. He's not saying that. It's not a passive issue. The issue is, how are we going to be changed? It's not you powering it up. It's not me powering it up. It is the work of the Spirit in us. That's why verse 3 is so important. It's one of the most important Christian verses that we can hold on to in our life. He says, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And it's a question that we have to wrestle with constantly. We get up new each morning and we go to the cross. We recognize what Jesus has done for us. And we go, how are we going to live in line with this? How is the Spirit speaking into us and transforming us? My heart would tell you that, I am justified by faith. And I theologically can articulate that and the knowledge of that. And yet, I at times struggle with this idea of sanctification. What is the Spirit actually asking me to do? How do I take that next step in a relationship with God? How is this thing ongoing? The reality, though, is this is how it's always been. We kind of think, well, the law was there, and then it's kind of works its way out, and if we're good enough, we're received by God. But that's never how it's actually worked. And if you look at verse 4, it says, have you experienced so much in vain? If it is really was in vain. So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by you believing what you've heard? That's a very simple question, what he's asking the Galatians. He's asking them, did God give you this Spirit to work miracles in your life? Did he give you this Spirit to follow in relationship with him? Or is it you reverting back to the law? The walking with God is for us to believe in the truths of what he says and to respond to those things. This is the heart of the issue in this passage. If you ask most people what they say about the Bible is, it's a way of living a moral life, right? This, we follow the rules and we live this moral life in that. It's about how to be a good person. And if you look at the Bible stories, what they're there is how to be a good person. Who should we imitate in this? And we look at these stories and we look at stories of Abraham. We look at stories of Isaac. We look at stories of Noah. We look at stories of David. And we go, oh, those guys, they're like the heroes of the faith. And they are the heroes of the faith, but how did they live? They lived not in just works, they lived by God telling them and speaking into their life and responding to it. It's a fatal flaw to be just imitators of that. think about this for just a moment, and he's going to go on. He's going to talk about Abraham and the father of faith for both the Jews and the Gentiles. And one of the things that happens is when we think about Abraham, we think, man, he was just a guy of faith, and I want to be like him. But if we were imitators of Abraham, we'd move to some other land, and we would take our maybe some of you have moved here from a different land, and you would take your oldest, or not your oldest son, you would take one of your sons up to Mount Ripley, and you would try to sacrifice them, right? You're going to go to jail for that, just so you know. Don't do that. That's not what, you know, it's not by these works. It's not a clear imitator. But what was he doing what is the essence of what he was doing? He was walking by faith. He was going, okay, God, I'm going to leave all of this behind. You want me to kill this? Okay, I'm going to do this because I believe in you. I trust in you. I have faith in you. And, you know, a lot of things were probably running through his mind in that moment. Is God going to raise this child from the dead? How is he going to do that? I don't know, but I'm going to trust him. I'm going to take that step. That's the imitation part that we need. We need to walk in this as God calls us into this. So he goes on in verse 6. He says, so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. What did Abraham do? He believed. He held to what God said, and he responded to it. God told him to move, so he did. God told him to sacrifice, so he did. These are descriptive ways. They're obviously not prescriptive ways of following God. But really, if you go all the way back to Genesis, it's really how they were living too. Pre-fall, you have a relationship between Adam and Eve that was happening. You also have a relationship with God and them. And so in chapter 3, it talks about this God was coming to meet with them in the evening, and they recognized this is after the fall, that something had happened. I don't think he was coming there as a punitive action. I think he regularly met with them. There was intimacy with them. This was normal for God to come and meet with them. You look at chapter 2, and it talks about how there was work that God gave them. He created a place for them to live. He said to Adam, hey, go name the animals. There was this conversation. There was this thing happening where God was telling and he was following. He says, hey, you can live here. You can hang out here. You can do everything here. There's one rule that I don't want you to do because it's not good for you. Don't eat of this tree. And they did, and the fall came, and the curse came to the earth. But prior to that, there was this relationship, there was this intimacy. It was so strong and so wonderful. They didn't know they were even naked. They had never experienced death. They had never experienced any of these things. They did not know. They did not understand. And there was this connection and this relationship. This is what God is calling us back into, this intimacy, this relationship with him. But how do we have that? Is it just by following the rules? Well, no. It's about walking in faith with God. When you've said yes to Jesus, he changed. He changed your heart. He gave you a new heart, and he gave you a spirit to walk with him so that you could have a relationship with him. How does God work? He gives us a spirit, and the spirit has many jobs, and we could spend weeks on learning about what the spirit does. But one of the thing that the spirit does is it prompts us to go in the direction that God wants us to. It illuminates the word of God to us so that we understand it. And I think also not just understand it, but we know how to apply it and connect it into our lives so we can take that step of faith with God. There's a book in the Bible, a chapter in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, and it is really all about these people not doing works, but living by faith. It's the hall of fame of faith. And so I've been giving you kind of reading assignments. I think we talked about Romans chapter 8, the Spirit, living by the Spirit. Read this chapter, chapter 11. It's really, really fascinating. And you'll have all kinds of people in there from all different backgrounds in there. And all of them, there is this righteousness that was given to them because they lived by faith. You have actually a lady by the name of Rahab. She was a liar and a prostitute. And God, because of her step of obedience, because of her faith, it says that this was given to her, this righteousness, this walk with God. You can read that on your own. It's pretty awesome. But those are all movements of sanctification in their lives. He goes on, he says, understand, then those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This is awesome. This is just an awesome passage because God knew. If you're not Jewish, you're not ethnically Jewish, he knew that Abraham was going to be a blessing to all nations. Abraham was going to give this relationship to God to all nations. He was going to work in such a way through the line of Abraham that God was going to give Gentiles this ability to connect with him, this ability to have intimacy with him. He does it through the person of Jesus Christ, which Jesus was in the line of Abraham. He's the Lion of Judah. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. And we are all blessed by him because we can have a relationship with God. We can have intimacy with God. And what God gives us in this blessing, in this beautiful thing, is he gives us his Spirit to walk with him in this relationship. It's a beautiful thing. And we are children. You know, if you remember, maybe when you were in Sunday school, you sang a song about Abraham. And you went, how am I a child of Abraham? Well, you're a child of Abraham by faith. He goes on and he says, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, as it is written. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. And he's, you know, this thing is really clear. It's actually really difficult, though, I think, sometimes in our heads to get this. What Paul is saying in verse 10 is that the law was designed to show us that we're imperfect, that we can't earn our way to God. We can't live up to his standards. But the righteous live by faith. What are we to have faith in? We believe in the one that God has sent. We have faith like Abraham. We have faith like Rahab. We have faith like Noah. There's no rain. God tells him to go build a boat. And what does he do? He does it. If God tells you to go and build a boat, you go build a boat. If the Spirit of the living God is in you and says, hey, you need to go and do this, you go and do this. And you're not going to find that in there. Travis, please go, you know, if he's reading his Bible, it's not going to say, Travis, go build a boat. No, he's going to walk with the Spirit, in line with the Spirit, in intimacy with the Spirit. He's going to take a step with him, and God's going to open up and reveal to him, what are those next steps? How do I walk forward in this relationship with God? It's never just knowing the Word of God. It's never just knowing the Word of God, but it's responding to the Word of God. You heard the gospel, and you responded to the gospel. It wasn't, there's lots of people who know the story of Jesus. There's lots of people in the world who know the story that Jesus, he lived, he died on a cross, and he rose 3 days later. And they know that story, they have knowledge of that story, but they have not responded to that story in faith. They do not believe that Jesus is the one who saves them. They do not believe that Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross was for them, for the forgiveness of their sins. So knowledge it's not just about knowledge. It's about responding to what God has for us. There's a bunch of Bible passages that are just flowing through my head right now. And I'm thinking, like, in those moments, you've had these moments where you have just a really difficult email. Someone says something really harsh to you. And your mind instantly clicks. And you're like, hey, I'm going to respond back. right? I'm going to get them. I'm going to light this person up, right? And there's many reasons why you should. But then you start to go, wait a second. A soft answer, it turns away wrath. In that moment, you get to take a step with the Spirit, or you get to take a step with the flesh. It's a choice, right? But do you believe what God says, that a soft answer is going to turn away wrath? Do you believe that? Do you hold to that? Even though it feels unjust, do you hold to that? It's those moments that we live by faith when we're responding to what we know. And it's a part of our growth pattern. It's a part of our sanctification. It's a part of us living more human than you've ever lived before as we respond to the Word of God, as we respond to the Spirit's prompting in our lives. How do you know if it's the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Satan in us? You test it. You test the spirits, is what the Bible says. We test the spirits and we go, wait, is that of God? Yep, that's of God. I'm going to do that. Because God told me to. And I don't like what he told me. You know, sometimes I don't want to love my wife like Christ loved the church. I don't want to because she's mean, right? I don't want to do it. But Christ told me to do it, and so we do it, right? Sometimes I think he thinks the church is mean too, but he still loves us. And so there's something in that. That we take the step with the Spirit, in line with the Spirit, and what happens is we begin to grow in our faith. You're not earning your way. You've already come to Jesus. You're already justified. But you're living by faith. It's not, you started by faith and you continue in faith. Think about it this way. Let's say we're all in law school, and it's commencement day, and we're about to go and to receive our diplomas. We've worked hard, and some of us are A students, some of us are B students, and some of us are C students, right? But we're all ready to get our diploma. And the commencement speaker comes up and says, hey, we are doing this. We're only giving diplomas to the people who never got a red mark on their test. Never on a quiz. They never got a check mark. They're absolutely 4.0, but perfect 4.0s. Well, now we're all eliminated, right? Not too happy about that. But Jesus, what he does is he's like, I'm 4.0. I did it. I lived absolutely perfectly. I never got anything wrong. Absolutely zero. And he goes and he gets his diploma. And he gets his diploma and he begins and he says, hey, anybody who wants to come up, anybody who wants to hold this diploma, I want to give it to you. I want my righteousness to be given to you. I want my law degree to be given to you. And some of us would be go, that sounds too good to be true. I'm not going to do that because I'm going to feel silly. Right? Others of us, we think, well, this whole thing is a sham. I don't like this. I'm angry. I worked really, really hard. And I deserve a diploma. And there's other of us, us C students, we're like, hey, we're in, right? Like, I get it. I got lots of red marks on there. You know, I'm there. I'm walking right upstage with Jesus and taking my diploma. Right? That's the picture. But then Jesus says this, okay, now we got to go to work. We got to go to work, folks. And I'm not going to leave you at work because you are not very good at your job. You don't understand the law. You don't understand the ways of God. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to promise I'm going to be every day at work with you. Every day I'm going to sit there with you and I'm going to hang out with you and I'm going to speak into your life and I'm going to tell you how to actually live this thing out. We didn't graduate, folks, and go, oh, we got this now. We graduated in justification, but not in sanctification, how to actually live. Jesus said, I've come to give you life to the full. And he gives us, he doesn't leave us. He gives us the counselor. He gives us his spirit that lives within us and prompts us and goes to work with us every day. And we live by faith in that. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Paul says this a couple of times, that we live by faith. It's those of us in faith who are sons of Abraham, that we have faith in what God has told us and what God is calling us into. We continue in the Christian life the same way we started in the Christian life, by grace, not performance. He goes on in 10 through 14, he contrasts these two things. He contrasts trying to gain God's approval from our flesh and how to kind of walk through this thing and walk with the Spirit. For all who rely on the works of the law are under its curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one has... who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. For all of us who rely on the laws, I'm good. We got it wrong. Cursed is everyone who does that. It's not our efforts. We walk with the Spirit. We walk in the ways of it by Him moving into our lives, by Him being the law student that is in us and going, here's your next step. Do we always get this perfect? No. But we run to the cross by grace. We run to the cross because this is what Satan's going to do. He's going to counterfeit stuff and he's going to push you away from this relationship with God. And what he's going to say when you mess up, what he's going to say is, you're not saved. Ha ha. You're not saved. Look at you. Look at you. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that if you place your faith in Jesus, there is no condemnation. There's no I messed up, but I'm gonna walk. I'm gonna continue to walk. What Jesus did for you on the cross is he took away your past sins, he takes away your present sins, and he will take away your future sins. It doesn't mean to live however you want. It means that you are walking and trying to walk in the Spirit of the living God, and how that relationship, you want a relationship with God because he wants a relationship with you. It's not that you are good, it's God is good. He's always good. Jesus accomplished all of this through his work on the cross. Focusing on our sinfulness, and there's some people that do, they focus on our sinfulness. We're just pond scum. We're nothing, and God is everything. In one sense, that's true. God is awesome. And we're not. But God has created you. And Creator God wants a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be intimate in that relationship with you every step of every day. God's love is something that should be so precious to us. It should be a part of our daily lives. We continue. And this is what Galatians is all about in this chapter. We continue in our walk, in our tightrope. Jesus is the one who walks this tightrope for us, right? He walked and he lived absolutely perfect. And he's carrying us toward this sanctification. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. Well, that's impossible on your power or my power. It's only through the work of the Spirit starting to change us, starting for us to understand, this is how you're created. This is how you should live. This is what God wants from you. And we do that on the back of Jesus. We do that as we ride on the back of Jesus, as we go to the cross daily, as we confess, man, God, I messed that one up. Yeah, I know I was supposed to do this. I'm sorry. Help me to say I'm sorry to the person that I hurt. Help me to forgive like you forgive. Help me to love like you love and begin to walk in those ways. It's the very best way to live. It's the only way for Paul says to live. We've all met those Bible Bobs, those people who know a ton about the Scripture, but it's not, and they'll tell you they know a ton about the Scripture. We like that you, if you know a ton about the Scripture. But then it's really just to judge other people. And those are the people that Paul continues to go, hey, stop that. You should know your Bible. You should read your Bible. But if you've said yes to Jesus, you are not condemned. God wants you to be in relationship with Him. It's not about just following the rules. It's really about a relationship. There are family values that God has for us to introduce those to us, to understand who we are. They're identity statements. They're family identity statements. They're not rules in the sense of, if you do this, I will love you more. No. They're like, this is what the family does, right? This is how we live, and it's awesome. You know, some families, they'll have family game nights, right? And you'll talk to the kids like 30 years, and it'll be at a funeral, and I get the privilege of being with the family in those times where they've lost a mom or a dad or whatever. But what they remember are these chunks about the family. Oh, we used to play games every Friday night. I used to love it. We'd have pizza and pop, but it's a family value. That's the same thing that God has for us. These are the family values. This is the party, guys, that you get to enter into this grace and this love of God. And you get His Spirit in you to help you walk in intimacy with Him. It's to have those garden experiences with God. It's amazing. Let us not get confused on this. We start our walk with God through faith, and we continue our walk with God in faith. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. We're thankful that we don't just get saved and then we have to have it all taken care of. We're thankful that your Spirit lives in us and walks with us and tries to move us in the direction of the family. God, help us to be responsive to your Spirit. Help us when we know to do right to do it. Not out of obligation, because we want to live how you want us to live, this very best way to live. God, thanks for loving us even when we're messy. Thanks for saving us, but not leaving us right there in that spot and trying to move us into a deeper relationship with you. God, help us to desire that. Help us to want that. Help your Spirit to be free in our hearts to be able to have that happen. I just, for some reason, feel burdened to pray for those who are living a life where it's law-based. God, there's so much freedom in you. It doesn't mean we do whatever we want, but what are the family values and how do I live in the freedom of those? God, I just ask that those counterfeit moments in our heads, and we all have them, or we're not good enough for you. Our relationship with you is somehow deeply broken because of our actions, that we would run to the cross and know that you're there with open arms, wanting to invite us back in. We're the prodigal sons who come to you, and you show grace and love and throw us a party. God, let us never be in that place where the oldest son, where we have it all and we miss the house of grace that we get to live in. God, I pray that for myself, and I pray that for my friends today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.